you too will live. That presumes death. We all know it's coming. In fact, it's a certainty, along with taxes and the fact that the Cubs won't win the World Series. Those three you can count upon. A promise, if you will, but a twisted one in terms of the human experience. You too will live, but first you will die. One of the things that I like to do that I impose upon my family in our travels is to go to graveyards and to wander around them. And usually I'm attracted to ones that have some kind of famous Lutheran individual, whether it be Winneken in Cleveland or Muhlenberg in the Trap, Pennsylvania. But as I wander around finding those famous folks, I'm confronted by the innumerable stones of the lesser known. In many ways, the unknown, who've lived a life and have now passed on. As I walk amongst the stones, I wonder, what was this life? What can you put on a gravestone that will summarize an entire existence for a person? There's a story there, a narrative of a human being, one that in many cases I don't know. I know the big stories, I don't know the little stories. And of course, in those kind of moments, death begins to impose itself on me. And I wonder, will I also live? But within those graveyards, there are innumerable stories of life lived and lived to the full, whether known to me or not. Stories that are and have their basis in the Lord, who gives them their meaning. So a life lived to the full, in contrast to a life lived in fear. Fear of death, fear of judgment, fear of God. In fact, we could say with the human context of the present time is a great attempt to flee from God due to a fear of death. For we are sinners in the hands of an angry God who seems only to seek our destruction. So what do you fear this day? What is it that you bring with you that unsettles your life, that causes you to gaze into an uncertain future, that makes you wonder, will I also live? Is it something as simple as a speeding ticket recently gotten or something like that that has to be dealt with in some kind of court appearance or a fine paid? Is it losing your job? Is it the dreaded summer Greek? Or is it death, your own death, or worse, the death of a loved one? A life lived in fear is no life at all. A life lived in denial is in many ways a life worse than death. In Camus' famous book, The Plague, there's a marvelous subject. Joseph Grand is his name. He spends the entire book trying to write a novel, but he becomes stuck on the first sentence of the entire book and simply rewrites it again and again and again, trying to find the perfect words, the perfect sentence to introduce the novel and encompass the entire in one brief set of words. And as a result, he does nothing. Even as life collapses around him and death becomes defining for all of his and his fellow people in Iran, their existence. And he rewrites the sentence and rewrites and rewrites and rewrites and does nothing. A life lived in fear and denial is no life at all. So what's the way out? Well, Jesus tells us, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then, right, you also will live. But we also know that as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do so I also will live?" And Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the man said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have done from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing, only one. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You also will live. Then come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do this, and you will live. Simple. If you love me, then you will keep my commandments. If, then. You may think I'm fixated upon death, but eulogies, gravestones, what do you put on them to summarize a life? In a eulogy, we write what? Well, it's good words. That's what you summer Greekies will know soon about the very word. What do we put in them? We put only the good stuff, because we're ashamed of so much of our life. We failed in the if then. All these things I have tried to do from my youth, but in fact have done few, perhaps none. So what is the way out? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You can almost hear the despair of the disciples at this moment as they're confronted by their own failure. And so Jesus explains, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Contingent upon the keeping, no, rather, the promise of the Spirit. And this promise of the Spirit, who calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies the whole Christian church, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. As God's own baptized child, you've been given the gift of the Spirit. You've been called. You've been gathered. You have been enlightened. You're sanctified through his work. Your baptismal reality is that of a redeemed sinner, one who also will live, not because of your own works, but because of Christ. The reality of our lives as Christians is lived within the context of the struggle of death and life. And I wonder sometimes whether the promise of how-to Christianity in our current times is the promise of a life managed in the context of sin, or whether the richer biblical witness of a life lived in Christ can give us a better hope. The promise of how-to Christianity is no promise at all, for it is law. And as soon as we return to the law, we find the threats there once more, death. But in Christ, there is life, life to the full. And so the promise of the Lord is certain and sure. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.